Hello, everyone, and welcome to Repod It, the Rerouted podcast. I'm your host, Brian Schoening, with our co-host and founder, Chap Grubb. Chap, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going great. I am so excited for our guest today, Brian.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more. Little bit more about Mason. He joined us for a happy hour several weeks ago and a couple months ago at this point. Now, recording this in mid-January, a couple months ago at this point, but it was awesome. It was one of our most successful happy hours. We had a blast talking to him. So how about you introduce our guest here?
Yeah, so we got Mason Gravely here, and I made sure to pronounce his name right. But Mason is a big part of the Athletic Brewing Company, and he is the host of the Adventure Sports podcast. So just from my personal experience, I met Mason because I love Athletic Brewing beer. I haven't drank in almost 10 years, and this kind of really revolutionized the way that I got to go out and hang out with my friends. But I won't do Athletic Brewing justice. I would really like Mason to kind of give his back end on Athletic Brewing and what they do and what they're doing to change kind of the way people think about beer.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah, it's been awesome to know y'all and get to know you. Yeah, Athletic Brewing, I'm drinking one right now. This is our IPA. We make craft beer, award-winning craft beer. It just happens to be non-alcoholic. So whether you're sober, like Chap, if you don't drink at all, or if you do like to drink but you don't want to feel like a headache in the morning, or whatever it is for you, there's a this is a great option. And everything from Olympic athletes to NFL players to just busy people love this beer, because it's like I can have the beer, but I can keep doing what I love to do and keep going and keep getting out there. So it's a really cool product.
I think what's amazing, Mason, is my fiance, who loves her IPAs. That's one of her favorite go-to drinks. She cracked one of them and said that she wouldn't have known any better. She wouldn't have known that it was an alcoholic. She wouldn't have known that it was any differently brewed than what she's used to drinking, which is pretty phenomenal feat, because that can't be easy from a tech process. Last time we talked, it was it's your secret sauce, your guys' secret background process that makes that happen. But it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's, I can't talk about, I don't even know. So I don't want to know, because then they'd have to kill me. We every time we do a professional beer review, or there's so many on YouTube and like professional cicerones that know exactly what they're doing, have tasted thousands and thousands of alcoholic drinks, they'll drink this, and one of the questions that we always ask is, would that have fooled you? And they're like, absolutely, 100%. We actually just were in the International Beer Challenge, which a worldwide beer challenge, and cool. It was a blind taste test, and our beer, our double hop IPA, won the contest.
You guys won
the whole thing.
Wow. Worldwide.
Like 1,000 beers.
That's phenomenal, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. That was a couple months ago. And because of that, you could tell the judges were kind of shocked and like,
yeah,
uh-oh, did we just,
yeah, they
what kind
derailed.
Of cans of worms did we just open? Cause yeah, they derailed it, and then they crowned us Brewery of the Year for North America.
Wow, hey.
That was cool.
But well, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
they didn't
awesome.
Know, because it was a blind test, and they were like, this is an incredible IPA. What's the ABV, the alcohol by volume? And they're like, 0.5.
Zero.
What the heck? Like, trace amounts of alcohol in it, because technically there's tiny, tiny bits, but
sure,
it blew their mind. So that was really cool.
That's super cool. And that, doing it in a blind taste test against all the other beers, man, these beer companies must be losing their minds. They're like, what is going on right now? We're supposed to make the best product out there. Brian, I know that we both spent some time listening to some of Mason's stories over on Adventure Sports Podcast. And I know, Mason, mine's coming out with you later, early next month, right?
Yes. I have to look specifically, but next couple weeks. Yep.
Yeah. So we had a really good conversation about gear, but Mason tells all these really cool stories, and he has all these really, really interesting people come onto his podcast. And so we're feeling really lucky that Mason's here to kind of talk us through his experience and his growth into the outdoors, and kind of come jump on our train. Mason, you grew up in Florida, right?
born and raised in Central Florida, Adventure Central, venture capital of the world.
So how does a guy that's born and raised in Central Florida become the host of the Adventure Sports Podcast? And what kind of drew you to the outdoors and to get more involved in that way?
It's a great question. Grew up in a kind of a redneck family. My family's awesome. My dad's definitely a redneck, self-described. My mom, not so much, but we were out in the country nonetheless.
Sure.
And so around a lot of cattle and horses and just kind of out in the way. And once you get away from the coast in Florida, it's a lot like being in Georgia or Alabama or just the South. It's very Southern rural culture. And just grew up near a lot of orange groves. Obviously in Florida, there's a lot of that. And grew up hunting and fishing is what got me outdoors. But then we were not that good at either one. And bless my dad's heart, he tried his best, but we weren't just never killed anything. I called it, we didn't go hunting, we went looking, and because we never came back with anything. And so when I started becoming, you know, an adult and deciding, do I want to start doing some of this stuff? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and without the objective to catch something or kill something. One, because it's really frustrating when you don't do it, you feel like you failed. Two, it's just a lot less hassle. It's a lot less money and it's a lot less time. And you can just go out there, you know, kayak or bike or go for a hike and come back and you're complete. Like you did the thing, you had a great experience and there was nothing else to achieve, you know, that you didn't do. So that was a big part of it for me. But then really got into bike touring in college, big time. A friend and I just wanted to go on a long adventure. We were talking about doing the Appalachian Trail, talking about all kinds of stuff. I had been camping a lot as a kid through hunting mostly, but we did go on small camping trips. But I'd have to credit my dad for getting me outdoors early on.
Where were you starting your bike touring, Mason? Where was that in college?
As far as like when in college or where?
Where were you?
Well, I'll tell you what, so I went to school in college to play basketball at this small like D2 school in Lakeland. And then one of my teammates and I, we're best friends now. He lives 20 minutes from me now. We're going to go kayak this weekend, like all weekend.
That's
and,
awesome.
He's awesome. He has two kids. We're working on our second. It's just a blessing to be close by. And he and I were roommates. And I was like, we got to do something this summer. He's like, yeah, we got it. Let's do something crazy. He was going to graduate. I still had a couple years left. He's like, well, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. We had a world map on our wall and we're like, you know, we could do this trail or we didn't know anything. We were just sports kids, 20 years old. Like, you know, we didn't know anything about anything. We didn't know the Appalachian Trail was as long as it was. And there were all kinds of things out there. And so I was like, you know, I don't know, whatever we can finish in a summer, because I have to be back. And then his girlfriend was graduating college in the summer. So we had like 2 months to do something. And he's like, you know, we could hitchhike somewhere or we could do a trail or something. And we were like, then the conversation revolved around bikes. We're like, why don't we get bikes? We could probably go farther. And we didn't realize bike touring or travel or bike packing was a thing. We thought we were coming up with this novel idea. So he said, why don't we fly to Alaska and bike all the way back here, right here to school? And that was Central Florida. And so it's like, okay, fly to Alaska and bike to Florida. And we looked at the world map that was from like a yard sale. And we were like, oh my gosh, man, that is a long way. And we shook on it right there and said, let's do it. And then 6 months later, we're on a flight to Fairbanks with bikes. The bike's right inside here. I don't know if you can see it. It's like literally right there. It's just,
that's amazing.
That bike, we flew up to Alaska. He had one just like it. And 2 days after school got out, we were up there and jumped on the bikes and started biking back home.
That's Dang. A crazy thing to just like decide on the fly, on the spot to do. Like you talk about being kind of, you know, I don't know. That's a crazy thing to decide to do just on the spot and agree to. It's like, at what point did you realize, like, oh geez, like, what did we get ourselves into? Did that realization come before you guys left, or was it on the flight, or was it, you know, 150, 400, 500 miles in?
It was probably every step of the way. We were very ignorant. Extremely ignorant. And I'll tell you a quick story. I just shared this story, so I don't want to repeat the same ones on a different show. But on the very first day, within the first hour of being on the road, it was snowing and raining, switching. It was terrible, cold. There were moose running in front of us on the road in Fairbanks. And I get a flat tire right away. I'm like, oh, crap. And so it hit me when we got the flat tire. I was like, Paul, do you know how to change a flat tire? And he's like, no. We never looked it up. We went on two training rides. Both were 40 miles and nothing happened on those. So we didn't do anything about it. And so I knew we had a patch kit, like, for tubes. And I knew that we had a pump, just a little like Walmart pump. And we figured it out. It took like an hour or more.
Yeah.
And then within 10 minutes, we had a flat tire again. And we learned very quickly that when you get a flat, you have to run your fingers on the inside of the tire because there might be something stuck in the tire itself. So that when you switch the tube out and put a new tube in the tire, that thing, if you don't take that thing out, it's going to poke that new tube as well. So it was, sure enough, there was this little piece of metal like lodged in the tire that had popped the new tube or the new patch. And sure enough, we got that pulled out, and then we didn't have another flat tire for 40 days. And the whole trip was about 66 days. So
my goodness,
whole trip. So
that's wild.
It was wild. And so that trip, we got back with plenty of time to go back to school. He was able to go to his girlfriend, who's now his wife, her graduation. And it just started both of our lives on this trajectory. Like, I'll tell you the ignorance. We didn't have rain gear. We didn't have anything. The only thing we were wearing were our basketball warm-ups from college that coach, like, let us use. And he's like, you guys are going to die out there.
You guys are going to die.
This will help. And, you know, those are not made for any sort of weather. No. They're just long sleeve. That's all they are. There's nothing insulating about him. So that was the level of stupidity and just ignorance we went into the experience with.
That's wild, Mason. One of my favorite pieces of life advice that I got was, I was doing something similar. We were up in Canada and it was just this nasty weather trip and we were all miserable and sitting there. One of my buddies looks at me, he's like, life is either really fun at the time or it's going to make a really great story later. And I feel like that's kind of what the Alaska trip was for you guys. It sounds like there's a lot of road bumps and a lot of learning that happened, but, you know, it makes for such a good story. Now I want to circle back, Mason, before we kind of press a little bit more into some of your gear experiences, because you talked about when you were hunting about this goal and not feeling like you meet this goal and how that can impact your experience and how your pivot towards just going out and hiking, going out and camping and successfully going on these adventures was how you kind of changed that mentality. We talk a lot on Repod It about what drives that success and what is that metric. I know for me, a lot of days when I go out climbing, I'll look up at something that normally I'd climb and I'd be like, not today. Don't feel like that. To me, that's a success because I've kept myself safe. I've kept my friends safe and we've had a good day otherwise. But Brian, do you want to add anything to that? Because I think that we haven't had a whole lot of hunting experiences here.
No, I've had my own experiences with hunting and I decided that it wasn't totally for me, but I loved the outdoors and I loved going out and kind of sitting, getting to a place at really early in the morning and kind of planting yourself for the day. But what Chad is kind of saying and what we talk about a lot is kind of success and failure in the outdoors and what kind of defines a successful trip. You know, there are trips that don't always go as planned, and when you look back at them, they are still, you know, a success, you know, whatever that means. So that was really interesting to hear you talk about kind of not feeling totally fulfilled if you didn't, you know, accomplish whatever on those hunting and fishing trips. So that's kind of what I would add to it.
Cool. Thanks. And so Mason, I know in kind of our pre-interview, we always kind of ask about, you know, a really sentimental piece of gear. And we usually ask about an outdoors trip, but we got the pleasure of hearing about your Alaska monster bike ride that must have been what, 5,000 miles, 6,000 miles, something like that.
It was 5,300 miles. Yeah.
That's awesome. A lot of biking. That's a lot of biking on a quick nap, back of the napkin math. That's what, 100 plus miles a day, about?
I think it was like 80 or 90 a day. It started out slower and then it picked up. But again, we were not in biking shape, but it started this trajectory in life that was like, wow, you can really go after things and you don't have to necessarily be 100% prepared, or it really just takes doing it every day, getting up and pedaling. It's not rocket science. It's not like you're not LeBron James. You're just getting up and pedaling. Like anyone can really do that, and your body gets used to it fast. So it just started realizing, and ended up doing it 5 more times, not the same route, but cross country trips.
Wow.
And just, that's how, to answer your question, Brian, that's how you start in Central Florida and end up on the Adventure Sports Podcast.
No, that's awesome. And so how long have you been on the Adventure Sports Podcast or hosting it?
I've probably been hosting it just over 2 years, but I was on the trip from one of my bike trips. I was on the show from one of the bike trips, came on to talk about it, became friends with the host. They both wanted, because of the show, they both were inspired to do something. And said, you know what, in order to do that adventure that we're wanting to do now, we can't also host the show. So I was getting into a position in life where I wasn't going to be out all the time. And so it worked out. We transitioned to the show to mine, bought it from them. They trained me, was part of the deal, trained me on how to do the show and how to upload it and edit and get guests. And, you know, it's been almost 2.5 years now, and it's been awesome because it's grown a lot. And it's one of the bigger outdoor shows. There's a lot I do wrong. Like there's a lot I don't do with the show that I should, but it's a constant in my life that gets you talking to really interesting, exciting people. So, I think podcasters, they're still growing. There's still a lot of room for, the industry to grow. And, I'm just going to stick with it. Keep putting out shows, keep doing my best. And I think it'll just be one of those shows that exists for a long time. But we're approaching episode number 700, I think, next week or the week after. So it's been a long time.
That's awesome. And I worked on some podcasts before, and I kind of filled in as the producer for a while on some sports podcasts, schooled with the professor John Clayton. I was the producer of that for a while, and it's not easy that what you're doing to get stuff out every week and kind of on a schedule. It's not easy. And here at Repod It, we kind of really, really started to get serious about it in November. And we're really, really thankful to have an expert in the outdoor podcast industry, such as yourself. I mean, an industry giant, for lack of a better term, is Mason Gravely in the adventure sports, outdoor sports podcast world.
He's shaking his head no. He's like, yeah, nah, no, he's, nah.
Yeah, it's a good sized show, but it's not like crazy. There's thousands of shows the same size, but you know, as far as experience and talking to a lot of good names and it's a lot of nights and weekends. I'll put it that way. A lot of nights and weekends. It's a lot of time after the kid is asleep to edit.
Yeah. Well, we just really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and you've been on a couple of things with us now for different reasons, and we love talking to you. Tell us about that piece of gear that you went to grab before the show. We want to see it. Cool. We don't know if everybody else is going to get to see the video at any point, but we want to see it, and we want you to describe it for us if you can.
Perfect. Well, so after that Alaska trip, some friends were like, hey, you know, Mason likes to do this stuff. Let's drive up to the Appalachian Trail from Florida just for a long, like a week experience during Christmas break. that upcoming Christmas break. And so I was like, yeah, I can do anything. I just did this Alaska trip. And so I'm like in tennis shoes, wearing sweatpants. I have nothing still. I'm very, very cheap and frugal. Like that whole Alaska trip cost, I think, like $500 for the whole thing. It was just literally ramen noodles and peanut butter on rocks. Like it was terrible. And so I took that mindset into this, and it rained and snowed every day of that Appalachian Trail trip. I was miserable. I hated it. I never wanted to go outside again. I was so ill prepared, even after that big trip. And we get to this little trailhead that's selling like a little outdoor store, and they had down North Face down jackets, 50% off. Nice. And that I never buy anything brand new. Like nothing I'm wearing, I bought. Everything's a gift or from work or something. Even this mic is probably borrowed from the previous host. And so I said, I want that jacket right there. I will pay full price. And they were like, good for you. It's 50% off. I said, I'll give it to me. And that is this orange down jacket. Oh, it is. You can see the wear.
Oh yeah.
It used to look like this orange peel, just nice and bright and orange. Now it's just got duct tape all over.
Yes.
It's black and stinky.
That
and
is a well-loved jacket. I can tell for anybody that can't see it, that is a well-used, well-loved jacket. And that is the definition of getting your all out of a piece of gear, which is another thing that we talk about at Rerouted, is kind of the second life of gear. And that is a really good example of getting your all out of your gear.
I've taken it on so many guided trips. I used to do these volunteer vacations in national parks, and we would fry like bacon in the morning and burgers at night, you know, cooking and grease splattering everywhere. I'd tie this around my like waist as an apron, and it just got soaked with grease, and it's disgusting. And my wife's like, why do you keep that? I'm like, it's been on every adventure I've ever gone on to this day. If I'm having a campfire in my yard and it's a little chilly, I'm putting this on because I don't want something else to just get ruined out there. It has burn holes all in it. And so that thing has been awesome, and I'll probably keep it forever.
That's what we love to hear. And honestly, like Brian said, that's what the beautiful thing about used gear is you find these things that are, and it sounds like in your situation, lifesavers. You're out there getting poured on, you're cold, you're miserable, you're wet. You go find this piece of gear, and then it just becomes part of the whole experience. And and you were kind of sniffing it, looking at it. And, you know, I have jackets like that. They smell like my old friends, right? You can smell the old adventure in that gear. And that's kind of what's so fun about it. So Brian, I mean, we, again, as always with all of our guests, we could probably talk for 6 hours with Mason. How are we doing? Do we have anything else that we want to get to, or should we get him?
No, we should probably start to wrap up, give Mason an opportunity to talk, any final thoughts about the Adventure Sports Podcast.
Where to find
Athletic Brewing Company and their award-winning beer, best brewery in North America beer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so what I love about Athletic and what drew me there was just these years of thinking kind of differently out of the box. Like my family, we live close to them now that we've moved back, but it's still the black sheep of the family, and they're like, you know, Mason's just so different, but we love them. And I love that about Athletic, like taking something normal like beer and brewing and something that's been around thousands of years literally, and just flipping it on its head, like, why would you take the alcohol out? And then there's this whole explosion of the industry. So, but all that to say, Athletic Brewing, you can find it at athleticbrewing.com. We ship nationwide. I think we always have like 4 or 5 beers on the website, but we make like 50 different kinds. And free shipping. Get it right to your door. You know, that's an alcoholic beer can't do that. So,
no.
And then Adventure Sports Podcast. You can go to, you know, adventuresportspodcast.com or find us anywhere at all. You look for podcasts or listen, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, anything.
Totally. And Mason, we always love having you around. Mason's releasing my version of the Adventure Sports Podcast sometime in February. I think we're going to try and team up on these and kind of get these coming out around the same time. We'll also make sure to post in the show links our happy hour with Mason, and then go check him out. We'll make sure to get all of his links there because he does really great work both with Athletic Brewing and Adventure Sports Podcast. Just really great content, really great stuff. And yeah, I mean, this is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah. I think we'll be posting this one probably a little bit after, just a week or so after, but pretty close to when Chap is on the Adventure Sports Podcast. So if you're listening to this, go and check out the Adventure Sports Podcast that Chap is on talking about Rerouted. That should be a good one. But Mason, again, thanks for your time. We really appreciate you carving a little bit of time out here for us. It's always a blast to talk to you. We can, like Chap said, we could probably talk with you for hours about all sorts of stuff and glean all types of advice from you. But we appreciate the time and the stories.
Yeah. It's fun to be on this side of the mic sometimes.
It's a little bit easier when somebody else is putting the questions in front of you instead of you having to come up with them.
100%. I'll just talk.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks, Mason. Hey, yep. Everybody from the crew here at Rerouted, this has been Repot It. We'll catch you next week.